The meeting to order, first order of business is pledged to the flag at the front of the room.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Gloria.
Commissioner Baker?
Here.
Commissioner Bauer?
Here.
Commissioner Callahan?
Here.
Commissioner Gillette is absent. Commissioner Murphy?
Here.
Commissioner Perkins?
Here.
Commissioner Stewart?
Present.
Item number four, are there any alterations to the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to add something under new business, which would be 13A, discussion on next-gen system.
That's the radio system?
Yes.
If it's the radio system, wouldn't it be, would it be related to 12B?
Mm-hmm. No? Okay. No, it's the next-gen system, which is the notification system for fire calls and stuff. Okay. So I'd like to try to keep it separated if we could.
Okay.
And that was going to be what, 12?
13A.
13A. Do I hear a second on that?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Item number five, any special recognition or presentations? Six, communications. Copies of monthly statistic reports from the fire departments, the fire marshal, the police, canine control, and building official. I believe I got everybody, but I did not see. Well, the building official came earlier, right?
Yep.
We didn't get Chesterfield and Mohegan either.
And I did not.
Chesterfield just came in.
Yeah. Okay, so we didn't get Mohegan's?
I didn't see it.
No.
Yeah, I didn't get Mohegan.
You said you had Chesterfield's?
Yes.
Okay.
My fault did it all.
Should have just got it.
Oh, okay. I got it right there. All right, so the only one we don't have is Mohegan's. Item seven, to consider an act on a motion to approve the minutes of the regular minute of August 26, 2024. I'll make a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion remains second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item number eight, remarks from the public on agenda items only with a 3-minute limit.
Mike Morin, 117 Seabury Road, Lebanon, Connecticut. I'm one of the paid firefighters in town. Been here for almost 26 years in November.
Can you speak up, Mike?
I wanted to speak about the data on the agenda. We need to get that done. It's been on there for a year. We go round and round at all these meetings. We need to get it done. The fire departments, the police department has their report every month. You know how many calls they responded to, how many arrests they made. The fire departments should have something similar. How many ambulance calls you responded to, how many fire calls. There's never a true number. As far as last month's meeting about the responses, with us doubled up. When we go out on calls, there's 4 paid guys on during the day. We go out on ambulance calls, that leaves 4 other ambulances at the volunteers' disposal. If the volunteers are discouraged, where are they when the 4 of us go out? I know certain times of day, but this is just something that we have to look at. Getting more volunteers or more paid staff, whether it be EMTs or firefighter EMTs, we need to get something rolling, because in another 10 years or so, I'm going to be retiring in probably 7, but we're going to have a problem because there's not enough people coming up to volunteer. In turn, that makes an effect on the paid department. So if we can get maybe a EMT program in the school, get kids interested early, and then that'll maybe make the future a little bit better. That's all. We just need to get the data rolling.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else? So now we'll move on. Number nine, remarks from department heads. Evening, Lieutenant.
Dave Rod from Lieutenant Mountville Police. I'm going to start off with our statistics for the month of August. We had 1,092 calls for service. We had 33 infractions issued, 6 misdemeanors, and 190 warnings for a total of 229 issued. As far as the animal control officer, for the town of Mountville, in the month of August, we had 8 animals impounded, 1 sold as for a total of 23 for the year, 1 sold as a pet for a total of 3 for the year. We had 56 total complaints investigated for a total of 135 for the year, 2 animal bites investigated for a total of 5. We had 61 other calls for service for a total of 118. The town of Salem, we had 5 complaints investigated for a total of 8 for the year. On top of that, I have some more correspondence that I'd like to read first regarding members of the department. The first one, Chief, just a communication in regards to an incident that took place on Saturday, September 2nd at approximately 10:30 p.m. This incident involved a vehicle versus house accident which occurred at 97 Forsyth in Oakdale. I am the current owner of the home, which is currently occupied by my daughter and her family. A vehicle described only as a gray silver Subaru ran a stop sign on Chapel Hill and Forsyth Roads, striking the above-mentioned residence. After striking the front porch and totally destroying the fence and several items on it, the vehicle left the scene back onto Forsyth Road and sped away. Mountville Police Sergeant Spring, Sergeant Galdenzi, and Officer Byron Mora responded and conducted the investigation. I personally observed these 3 officers and want to express how impressed I was with their professionalism, competence, and overall demeanor while performing their duties. Within an hour, they had identified and located the offending vehicle and its operator, who was charged with DUI, evading responsibility, and several other charges. These 3 officers are not only credit to the town of Mountville, but also to you as their chief. Please recognize and commend these officers for a job well done. Mike Sturgio. And I have one. Good morning, Chief. I'm writing to express my gratitude for Officer Todd's participation in our DARE training this morning. Officer Todd's demonstration of middle school lesson 2 was not only highly motivated, but also incredibly engaging for our DARE officer candidates. She truly set the bar for what a DARE officer can do for this training. What made this session particularly impressive was the fact that the DARE America has recently updated the middle school curriculum, and we were unsure if we would have the updated materials yesterday morning, the morning of the training. Despite these changes, Officer Todd prepared thoroughly and delivered an outstanding lesson demonstration with the new material. Her ability to adapt and present the updated content so effectively is a testament to her dedication and professionalism. You truly have the right person working with your students in Mountville. Thank you once again for allowing her to assist with this training. Respectfully, TFC James White, Connecticut Statewide DARE Coordinator. Officer Todd obviously had participated in the new DARE class that's in there. She helped instruct that. Other than that, the only other update I have is basically the animal control facility. The update we have is we had a meeting on September 10th. We met with the engineer and went over the requirements for the rebid. They're working on the estimate now. They anticipate it to be completed on September 30th. After that, the bids documents will estimated to be released on Friday, October 4th, and that's assuming that the DECD reviews and approves all in place. If that happens, then about 30 days after that, the bids will close. And That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Lieutenant. Last weekend, I was at an event, and there were Montville residents and some other residents from other towns there. And the question came up about window tinting in vehicles. I would like to know, what is the law for window tinting? And do our officers have the detector that tells what the
thickness.
The thickness is of that?
We do not. I can tell you the one thing. We don't have tint meters. We were in the process of getting them in the past, and they were out of stock, and we just have not gotten back to getting them.
Okay. Chief, so there, like I said, there were a number of discussions about this and what the rules and regulations are. And, a lot of people were saying, and I agree with them wholeheartedly, that it's very difficult today to see anybody in a vehicle. A person inside could be committing a crime to another person in the vehicle. You wouldn't even know it. And so that's why I have that question.
So typically, the cars that come from the factory have darker tint in the rear than they do in the front, and that is legal. So what the law says is 35% of the light has to be able to pass through that window. So if there's 35% MARS, they call it, when you use that, the tint meter, it detects how much light can pass through. So the rear windows on any car can be fully tinted. They can be limo tint as long as it's got two side mirrors. It's got to have two side mirrors. It'd be like driving a box van that has a, solid doors in the back. You have to have two side mirrors because obviously the rear view mirror wouldn't be effective. But anything on the windshield other than right below the top is illegal. That can come down about 6 inches, and that's more of a sun glare. Front windows, like I said, have to be 35%. You can get an exemption. You can get a medical exemption. You get what they call a tint sticker. You get a note from a doctor. You present that to DMV, and they can allow you at that point to tint your windows. Police vehicles are exempt from that. Certain livery vehicles are exempt from that. But, again, the rule of thumb is 35% light passage.
And so what is the cost of one of those meters? Do we know, Dave?
Idea.
Do you have any?
I didn't have one. The Troop E had one. We used it every once in a while when we were doing spot checks. But typically, if you stop a vehicle with aftermarket tint and they don't have a tint sticker, they're in violation. They're under a couple hundred. But it's something that we can certainly look at getting. Is there an issue that was brought up? Or?
It was a general conversation. How it all started was the person was at a red light, not in this town, but they were at a red light and thought that there was somebody in the vehicle next to them mm-hmm. that was being assaulted, physically assaulted in the vehicle because they could hear screaming coming from the vehicle, but weren't able to see inside because the windows were so dark from the side.
Yeah.
And was concerned about that. And my thing, you should have called 911.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't know if there was anything going on. I couldn't really tell, but it sounded that way. So, and that's what brought on the conversation with the group of people that we were out with. And I said, well, I will ask and find out.
So, again, anything typically that's the problem that we have is you get a lot of cars from out of state, and their local regulations may, like Florida, you can have limo tint on all your windows except the windshield. And when you drive a legally registered vehicle from Florida up here, you're expected to abide by Connecticut laws, but obviously we're not going to have people ripping tint off the inside of their cars. But it's, it's not one of the things that we're really targeting, but it is a violation of the law and something that we can look at.
Yeah, because I think it's just getting, I don't mind windows being tinted, but when you can't see in, I think, for your safety
yeah.
of approaching a vehicle, and you can't see either in the side, right, the window right behind you or the driver's window,
yeah,
I think that's a problem.
Especially at night, if you come up at night and you're trying to shine your flashlight through, you can't see anything.
Right.
It is, a little bit, nerve-wracking, but one of the things I didn't mention, the window tinting in the back, if it's that reflectorized stuff that causes a glare, the mirror, the old sunglasses, if it's mirrored, that is also illegal. So.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Lieutenant. Appreciate it.
Lieutenant Radford, before you run, can I ask you one thing?
Yes,
Yes, sir.
Since I've got to give a report on the radio system, I haven't had a chance to talk to Chief Messer. How's that coming along as far as doing the upgrades to your hardware and software over there?
The upgrades that were approved by the town, I contacted Communications Plus and they got the ball rolling. I just spoke with them the end of last week and they're waiting for the go-ahead from the state to get the licensing keys and so it's moving forward. That's where we're at right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Any other department? Good evening, Fire Marshal Barnes.
Good evening. Paul Barnes, Fire Marshal. Activity report for the month of August. Fire Marshal's office conducted 45 apartment and business inspections. We had no fire investigations. The Deputy Fire Marshal responded to 36 incidents. I was asked to break this down, and it breaks down as 23 EMS calls, one CO emergency, 5 fire alarms, 5 motor vehicle accidents, 1 hazmat call, and 1 utility emergency. I responded to 4. I broke mine down as 1 CO call, 1 fire alarm, 1 hazmat, and 1 utility emergency. We issued 2 burn permits. We had no illegal burns, and I conducted 4 construction project inspections. During the month of August, we had a total of 4 hours that were spent on emergency management obligations. I do want to bring up one thing. On Saturday, October 5th, Home Depot reached out to the Fire Marshal's office and asked us to put together a fire prevention day. Deputy Fire Marshal Meagle sent emails out to all the area fire departments, including R4. I sent an email to the chief of the tribal fire department, get as many fire departments as we can to come out, do a touch a truck, and Home Depot is going to have free build-it kits for the children of fire trucks. And that's from 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday, October 5th. And that's all I have.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Paul, thank you.
Fire Marshal.
Thank you very much.
Is there going to be a cost for that for the kids, or is it Home Depot's donating all this?
It's all free.
Okay.
It's all free. That's free for the kids.
Thank you very much for breaking that information down, too, Paul. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yes, Chief.
Bill Blanchett again. Paul just kind of racked my memory. Friday night, the 27th, at Fair Oaks, bless you, from 4 to 7, we're doing our national night out. Got people, Montville Youth is going to be coming out. The fire departments are going to be coming out again for a touch a truck. Have free food, activities for the kids, if anybody's interested in coming out. So, thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Any other department heads wishing to speak? Committee and liaison reports. Reports from the fire department.
So I forwarded the reports for Montville, Chesterfield, and Oakdale to you guys via the email. I also received the Montville fire activity for August 1st through August 31st. So the month of August, we've had fire calls 30, EMS calls 242. To break down the fire calls, 28 of them are in town, and 2 of them were Montville assisted out of town. The out of town was one provided manpower and equipment, and the other was standby. For the EMS calls, as I said, it was 242. The breakdown of that was there's 229 Montville in town, 11 Montville assisted out of town from providing manpower and equipment to transport, and 2 Montville requested assistance, and that was to transport. You requested a breakdown of lift assistance for the month of August. There were 20 out of those 229 calls. There were 20 lift assistants. And going back to July, you questioned basically sort of what the lift assistance was there, and that was 17 in July.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. Animal control?
Nothing to add. Thank you.
Thank you. Police department liaison. Vicky's not here. Reports from the building department liaison, Commissioner Stewart.
As you all received the report, Commissioner Baker actually reached out to the building department and asked them once again about breaking down the permits for residential, commercial, industrial, and they're working on that. the report came from Vern, and I thought he was backing out of it. Is he getting more involved, Mr. Mayor?
He is, not by choice. he seems to be helping out a little more with, we've taken on a trainee to stand in for Carmen, who's going out on a leave, and Vern's been there more often to help familiarize her with the procedures, the programs, and so has Dave Jensen. So they've kind of both been stepping up a little bit.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Item number 11, remarks from any of the fire chiefs. I don't see any of them here. Item 12, unfinished business, consider an act and a motion to approve policy to systemize and retain firefighter data and observe trends and effectiveness. I myself have nothing to report on this. Just keep it on there until next month. I don't know. B, buy company radio system upgrades. Mr. Baker?
I have nothing to add to Lieutenant Radford's report that he gave earlier.
Thank you. Discussion on the townwide preparedness to respond to a catastrophe emergency like that in Oxford, Connecticut. Steve, you have anything on that?
I don't have anything, but we sent that fire marshal or emergency management director to research.
Paul Barnes, Fire Marshal. What you're getting now is a list of all the dams that are registered in the town of Montville. I've had a couple of telephone discussions with Mike Caplet, and on this list, it lists by name, town. The B's, C's, and A's are explained on the last page. They give each dam a hazard class. The yes means they will inspect it, and the dates next to them are the dates they were inspected. And then the last column is who owns them. If they're privately owned, corporate owned, or municipal owned. The thing with the dams, we have two of them in town now that have been recently upgraded. We've also had a couple dams in town that have been dismantled. Mike Caplet and I had long discussions about this, and we have resources available. God forbid anything happens to us like what happened to Oxford and Bethel and up that way. We do have resources that would come out of Brainerd Airport, Swiftwater rescue teams, cold water rescue teams. We do have the firefighters in town that are certified in cold water rescue. We do have three boats in town. However, they are not certified in swift water rescue. Would we have that here? I don't know. That's something we won't know, unfortunately, until it happens. Would areas be underwater? Yes, they would. We would need early warning. The problem with Oxford was it fell back on the National Weather Service. National Weather Service initial forecast for that area was just heavy rain. Then they upgraded it 2 hours later to very heavy rain, an hour later to catastrophic rain. By that time, houses were being flooded, calls were going out for rescues. They were behind the eight ball by that time. The best we can do is pull our resources, open the EOC, and operate from there. Have all four fire chiefs, all four departments activated, operating, everybody stay in contact. I get quick response from the state for their swift water rescue teams, whether we need them or not. We have dive teams in the area that we can rely on, but who's to say that they're not in their own towns? So what we would do is do the best we can do with the resources that we have and the resources that we can get.
What would be the alerting system that you would go through first?
The first one I would go through first would be the Everbridge. We let everybody know right away.
In the whole town or just affected area?
I would do the whole town. Because if you do one affected area and that affected area doesn't get affected but another area does, I would just blanket the whole town. Just have them be aware, this is what's going on. Pay attention to your National Weather Service. Follow the weather reports. Take whatever appropriate action you have to take. We do know certain areas that are low-lying that we would have to evacuate. They would get taken care of immediately. Other areas we'd have to evaluate, take them on a case-by-case basis.
I mean, that's something that fire departments do, blizzards, ice storms. You know, you take it as it comes and
right.
You know, handle it that way.
This magnitude, as quickly as it came, nobody was prepared for that. Nobody was.
Well, I may have missed it when you mentioned Mike Caplet's name. Mm-hmm. I know who Mike is. I don't know if you said who he was.
So Mike Caplet works for the Department of Emergency Services, Public Protection. He works for the State Office of Emergency Management. His office is in Troop K. He is our liaison for this area for anything I need emergency management-wise. I need something from the state, I call him, he gets it for me. Sometimes he calls me before I have a chance to call him. But Mike Caplet and I stay in touch quite often. I don't know if anybody is aware, Mike Caplet used to be a police officer in this town before he took the job with the state. I've known Mike for years. So stand-up guy, and he'll get you whatever you need, get me whatever I need.
I agree with you on that, for sure.
Yep.
All right, thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate it. Anybody have any questions? I don't want to.
I have a question.
Yes, sir, Mayor.
The categories that you've identified here, what is category four, the column four? When you have B's and double B's and.
On the last page, that's explained. That's the hazard class for each dam.
But it doesn't tell you what a BB is.
It's. So 1B, let me see. 1B is. Intermediate hazard, a double letter, my understanding of that is, and talking to Mike, a double letter is something that you need to pay closer attention to. It doesn't qualify for a C, but it doesn't qualify for a single B.
So between
it's just something that has
B
to be.
C.
Right.
And what about the column five, yes and no?
The dates?
No, the yes or no.
Oh, that's where they inspected. And the date next to it is when they were inspected.
Okay.
And all these dams have to be inspected by engineers. They can't just be somebody from the municipality go out, take a look at it, and go, yep, that dam's okay. Has to be an engineer, somebody who is certified in dam construction, engineering, and inspection.
Do you know how often they inspect them?
What's the frequency?
Mike Caplet did not have information on that. We're still looking into that, if there's a procedure or policy of how often they're inspected or if they're just inspected upon request.
If you find out, would you just let us know?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Another quick question. The ones that with the yes no columns, those two of them are private. Do you have to and there's no date next to it. Is there, do you have to get permission from the landowner on that one?
The landowner's responsible for having that dam inspected because there is a cost behind it. And my understanding of it is you cannot compel them to have it done. Wow. The state cannot compel them to have it done.
Okay. And what about the municipal one? I don't even know where that is. Carr Pond Dam in Montville?
Barnes Reservoir?
Carr Pond.
Carr Pond Dam.
Oh, that's off Route 85.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's right on the Salem line.
Okay.
Some of them are very small. Some of them are very large.
Okay.
They're not all the size of Oxabaxo Lake Dam. Right. Some of them are just smaller.
All right.
One other question for you. This could use a location.
It gives the...
it gives you the name.
Right.
But like just pointed out, some you don't know, some of them are.
Right.
So, for example, the one across from St. Bernard's on 32.
Right.
I believe that was Beaver Pond.
I believe so. The numbers in the very first column.
Right.
You cross-reference those on the internet. It gives you a pinpoint location of where they are.
Okay. That answers that question. You do know that the Trading Cove Pond, that's coming down in the foreseeable future.
When it comes down, that will be removed off of this list. If you look on here, you'll notice the 163 and 32 is no longer on this list. It's been dismantled.
Thanks again, Paul. Appreciate it. Right.
Thank you.
That's good information.
Sure. Okay, 13, new business. Next gen, conversation for the next gen, right?
Yeah, the reason I'm asking this to be put on the agenda is I'm under the understanding from some of our fire personnel in town that there is an issue with them receiving notifications under this system. The next gen system, which I have on my phone, just it sends out the call, a location, what type of call it is. But then there's another system that's used by the fire departments. I think it's called I Am Responding.
Yeah.
From what I understand, and I mean, even I see it on my phone, I mean, I sporadically get the next gen ones. I may get one and then I miss 20 of them. Then I'll get two and I'll miss 30 of them. So I don't know what causes that glitch in that system. Same thing with the I Am Responding. I'm told that sometimes the volunteers don't get notified for up to 4 minutes after the call has actually been dispatched. So one of my concerns is we're trying to get the volunteers to come out to calls. If they don't know there's a call, how can we get them out? So again, I'm just looking for a little bit of background information and see how we can fix this system to better serve the needs of the fire service.
Lieutenant
Radford, Montfort Police. It is, this discussion has been had and looked into many times on our end, the next gen side. It is not the next gen program, it's the carrier that sometimes has problems.
You mean the cell carrier?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the cell carriers that sometimes have problems. We're constantly getting notifications of cell companies being down, having issues, complications, whatever it may be. NextGen simply takes the information and sends it out, and what happens from there is not on NextGen. I very rarely have issues myself. I have Verizon. I don't know what carrier you may have, Commissioner Baker. But
I have T-Mobile.
It's found to be a carrier problem, is long and short of it.
I know the other day there was a call, I can't remember where it was, and they had sent out, I think it was an ambulance call, I don't remember, and, oh, it was at St. Thomas More, and nothing came over any of the, I didn't come over, I Am Responding, didn't come over the next gen. Nothing came over, and I texted, because Larry was working, and I texted Larry, and I said, hey, just so you know, nothing came over. The tone came over, you know, went over the pager, and he said, I'll get right back to you, and like a minute or so later, it went out, and he sent back to me, and he said, I sent it out the first time. I don't know why it didn't work on any of them, and that's why, and then they went through a series of tests to make sure it worked, and I know, I mean, I think the I Am Responding is more of a problem than any of them. That's a very long delay. I don't know if it's so much of a problem. It's just a long delay. Sometimes it is 2 to 3 minutes before, you know, the guys are notified and I Am Responding, and a lot of people are using that. And, you know, I told Micah, chief of Oakdale, I think he should go back to pagers more. Stop relying on, you know, the phone is nice to have if you're out shopping.
Right.
You know, you're not in town, you want to know what's going on. But if you're home and in town, you should probably have a pager in your house or a Plectron.
I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but speaking with our IT director, he did have one, I don't want to say a solution, but an alternative that he recommended back when we first got NextGen, because NextGen is just the pass-through, basically. But he recommended that one thing that happens occasionally through the town servers is there's some sort of a switch or something that will need to be reset, which is occasionally. That isn't occasionally the problem. And I don't know the particulars, but his recommendation ideally would be to have all four fire companies have their own, for lack of better words, again, I don't know the exact technology, but all four fire companies have their own server or their own receiving point in them, so dispatch would send out four pages, that's it. Each fire department would get their own, and then they would choose from there who they go to. So that would alleviate the switch problem in town for the town equipment. He did recommend that in the beginning when everybody was together talking about next gen. Where that's going or what or how that could happen, I don't know. And if it would take care of the problem, I don't know, because it still is going to have to go through the carriers. But it might alleviate it a little bit. It might not.
Who was that told you that, Dave?
The IT director, Bill O'Neill.
Oh, okay. All right.
I do know that I spent an hour at the T-Mobile store down in Waterford the other day, and they called the tech department with T-Mobile, and they went in and did some resets on some things. One thing I understand, it's about pushing a text, how it's pushed. Don't know what that terminology means, but it's pushed. And so they reset some things in my phone that supposedly were going to make it better, and it didn't. So I don't know, and I had the same carrier you have now before this. Made no difference. So I just don't know. But I'm just, as I said, I'm just concerned that if these guys don't know this call, so then
on our end from the dispatch side, we haven't heard a lot of people missing calls. We hear them periodically, and typically when we do, it's an occasional here and there, and there's a delay and it comes in after, and or like I said, that rare occasion where we need to reset the town switch. But we haven't heard a ton on our end anyway.
Now, this delay that Gary spoke of, and from what I heard, is there a way that delay can be minimized? So that it, or is that something that is?
I think it's just technology, the carriers, and they're okay. So inundated with numbers and you know, for lack of better words, lack of airspace to send all this stuff out. It just, the right. Delays are a given.
Right.
Which, you know, Chairman Murphy mentioned, you know, it might be best to go back to the old pager system because it's more reliable.
It is.
Do you have any data to support that? The delays, is it happening once a month, 20 times a month? Would you be able to come up with that data and present it to maybe we get to the root cause that way? Because right now, in the absence of the data, Lieutenant can't really, he's grasping.
Well,
so
I think
maybe if you go back and come up with some data, we could determine root cause, and then maybe Lieutenant can speak smartly to it. Right now, you've kind of haven't given it much to go with.
I know. I mean, okay. The only thing I can do is ask, or Karen's a liaison. I mean, she could maybe send out an email to the chief and say,
well,
hey,
this is your action item, right?
I brought it up.
Right. So
I'm bringing it forward. So trying to keep it where it's supposed to go, then maybe have Karen just send out an email to the chiefs and say, hey, it was brought up at the meeting. Can you, when this happens, can you let us know? And put together dates and times for it. And let the chiefs take it from there.
So what she'd be looking for is delays, missed calls. What specifically are we looking for?
I think the delays are more important than the missed calls. The missed calls are very few.
Right.
Well, I agree with the lieutenant on that. It's the delays that's the problem.
One thing to keep in mind with the delays is there's going to always be a delay. You got a list of, I don't know, throw out a number, 100 people that are going to get these texts.
Correct.
It goes in a systematic order. So, you know, Gary might be number one, I might be number 99, and I'm going to get it 2 minutes after him no matter what, because that's just the way the system works.
And that's a very good point, Lieutenant, because in that, that's a periodically thing, that the periodical thing that the chiefs or somebody from that department should be checking with in ranking their members and how they want them to be notified. So I would imagine you'd want your top couple officers first, truck drivers, EMTs, and everybody else below that. Because I over time, they keep adding to it, and I don't know how people move up and down the ladder. But that is a good point. I know that happens.
We, as a general rule of thumb, and no offense, but if any of you commissioners get the text, you're at the end of the list.
It should be.
As a commissioner.
Yeah, it should be.
You know, the fire personnel, that, you know, it's they're higher up on the list.
And I think that's part of the problem, Lieutenant. You hit the nail on the head. That telephone or whatever that system is trying to make 100 phone calls, and it just takes time to get through it. So we may find the root cause is due to that, but I really think we need to come up with something more than grasping at straws and just putting stuff on an agenda here. I think we need to come with something a little more solid.
I can only tell you on my phone on the next-gen system, I don't know, the only way I know that something didn't happen is somebody, when I say to them, geez, you guys had a pretty easy day today, easy day. I had like 4 ambulance calls within an hour, and I'm going, can't prove it by me.
So I'd say write it all down.
It's two different things.
Yeah, write it all down, Commissioner, at the next meeting. Bring it in. Yeah. We'll have some cold, hard facts. We can share it with the lieutenant. He can do some due diligence and support that.
I'll do the best I can to find out what I'm missing. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But
do the flip phones get the text? Just kidding.
Yeah.
We never had them when we were kids, so, you know.
Are the pagers, okay. The pagers paid by the fire departments, yes, or the town?
Most of them are bought, I believe, by the... Well, I can only speak for Oakdale. I know Oakdale buys their own.
It's usually town. The town budget is paying for a lot of that stuff already. So
we're saying the pagers are available and they're just not using them and they're using a system, to your point, that's failing. So why would we do that?
Say again?
Well, because it was originally designed so because everybody's attached to these, and everybody has them wherever they go. Where people don't, when they go out, say for instance, you're going, I mean, I don't carry it when I'm out of town because I'm not going to be responding, but I'd like to know what's going on. So that's why I have it. It comes over the phone. But actually, you know, it should be the first notification should be pagers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Opinion. I'm saying if we've got the resource available and we know that the cell phone's not working.
Again, it's personal.
Then why wouldn't we use the pager?
There's a lot of guys that do. I'm not saying that they don't. There's a lot of people who do. There are also other people who don't.
The pagers are direct. They're coming right out of dispatch. They're not going through the cell carriers or anything like that. I use it as a notification, and most of the time that's all I need. But if I want to verify an address or something else, I can go into I Am Responding and get the address. And
the plus of the pagers also is you can hear the call real time. You're not just relying on a text that says, go here for this.
Well, that's my point. If we have these available, why are we not using them?
Well, because they are. Most, 80% of the people have them who that want them. And that may be low. But the I Am Responding, when you get a call that comes over and notifies you have a call, you can hit the button that gives you all the information that you need, plus the location, and it'll give you actual driving directions to that scene. You don't even have to worry about driving down the road at night trying to find a residence. It pinpoints right where you're going.
But to your point, everybody has a cell phone.
And that's why
only 80% of these are available. So we're falling 20% short by getting the message to the people.
Well, they're not sure. They choose not to take them.
Who makes that decision?
The person that wants it, whether they want it in their home or not.
Well, it sounds like we've got a policy problem then. Well, if they want the call timely, this is a device to do it.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I have mine. I have two of them.
So it seems very simple to me. The solution is these things are available, carry this, and you use that cell phone as your secondary. Am I wrong, Commissioner Baker?
I can agree with that.
Okay.
I don't disagree with it, but again, that's not a policy for us to set.
Well, we can make the recommendation. We're a recommended body, no?
We could.
So I'd make a recommendation that we go ahead and we figure out the 80%, and if we're 20% short, then we make a recommendation to get the other 20%. And we make the recommendation that the chiefs put a policy in order that they carry these things, and it'll fix your problem.
It could, as long as, but again, what we have to find out is how many of the stations actually have pagers they can give out to them, and then what they're going to have to purchase.
We just got a number of 80%. It means we're 20% short.
I just said that was a guess.
I don't know what the percentage is.
I don't know.
The reason I just brought this up is because I was asked, it was brought to my attention. I just wanted to bring it forward to see if we could get a resolution to it. That's all I'm looking at.
And I'm offering resolution. I'm offering resolution that you suggested, right? You guys say these things work. Let's go that route. Let's figure that out.
I'm saying
so who can get this number of how many we really have?
I could try and get it.
Let's do that. Huh? Let's do that. Let's find out how many's out there, and let's figure out how we get these guys to carry these things or gals to carry these things, and the cell phone be the secondary. And then we cut down on the delay. We cut down on the missed calls. And I don't know enough, Lieutenant, you're probably smarter than me on this stuff as far as the calls go, but I think that would help him establish the root cause, because any deltas that aren't getting there with this thing, right? I mean, if I'm in left field, point me out here, but I think this is the easiest way to go back to...
Now if Gary or Steve can answer this question, I haven't carried one of those fire pages for a long time. So you have the one that's generic to each department that uses that tone, and there's also an all-call on there, correct? Or
yeah.
Whatever. I don't call it an all-call.
General alarm.
A general type thing.
Yeah.
So because in town here, firefighters can respond inter company, he'd have to keep it on the all-call to make sure they could hear everybody's calls then.
Monitor, yeah.
Monitor.
That's what I usually do during the day, is keep it on monitor. Yeah.
I would think that'd be better.
Whenever anybody went out.
Yeah. All right, so how do we get on? I make a motion that Gary figures out, Commissioner Murphy figures out how many of these we got, report back next month, and then we move forward with your 13A to figure out what the delta is, and we nail this down and do something with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll second that. Any further discussion?
So you don't want me to email the chiefs?
Huh?
You want me to still email the chiefs?
On the pagers?
Yes. On whatever Commissioner Baker was bringing up, reaching out, saying that I should reach out to them.
Well, I think
I would think that part of this whole thing is find out how many of these pagers every department has.
And that's what Chairman Murphy's going to do.
I'll find out how many pages each department has.
Start there. That's good. Thank you.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? So moved. Okay, remarks from the public, 3-minute limit. Remarks from the public?
Matthew Suarez, 18 Cranberry Drive. I'm just going to touch on what you guys were just talking about.
Please.
My next gen, I am responding, work very timely, and as they should, except... I used to get all four departments on it, but because so many people asked to be on it that aren't firefighters or EMTs, they had to drop certain people, certain calls. Like, I no longer get the west side of town, I only get the east side, because the server couldn't handle making all those calls. So they had to limit some of the firefighters because there was non-firefighters, non-responders that wanted access. So I still get the east side, but not the west. But it works as it should instantly. And yes, I use my pager all the time. It's in my cup holder right now in my truck. I left it out there because it's loud. But, you know, I carry that with me when I'm in town, much like Commissioner Murphy said. If I'm out of town, you know, I shut it off. It does me no good anyway. But as far as who has pagers, I will tell you everybody in our department has one. They either choose to use it. You know, that's up to them. You know, we don't have a policy that says you will leave it on 24/7 while you're in town. But everybody has issued one, so at least in our department.
Which department said again?
Mohegan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. I'm Eagle, Deputy Fire Marshal. Just wanted to touch base on, again, I am responding, things of that nature. It's a ongoing issue with just throughout the whole entire state. I know being in a different department, we've had the same exact issues that we did with you guys. We actually ended up going back to our pagers because we could not rely on our cell phones. And the thing is that there's so many people on a cell phone tower that you won't get any reception, you won't get anything. Say, for instance, you go to a fair, okay? In that area, it's so contrary because everybody's got their cell phones that you can't even get data out or in because it's so concentrated. It's the same way with this area. With 395 that we got coming around here, you know, this place gets busy during the daytime because there's businesses opening up, things of that nature. So your population increases, where then the cell phone towers then have a big demand on them. And you know, everybody uses it. You know, everybody, it's part of the thing. So, but just to go on that. And I Am Responding also has a multi way to send out messages. You can do it through email. You can do it through another text message. There are multiple settings inside I Am Responding that does do that. I know for me, for my town,
I have two settings to make sure that I get the message. And I always have two. It's two. It is what it is. But I always get it, which is always a good thing. So,
question. When you say you always get it, is it email, text, phone? What are we getting?
Mine goes through email and two text messages. So I technically have three settings on there. And
so you have
can actually put the phone number in there. So
you have them on right now?
Yes. Yes.
Any problems?
I have not had any problems since then.
Which one do you get first, text, email, or phone, or are they all come at the same time?
I usually get my text messages first, and then my I am responding goes off, and then I get my email after that.
All within seconds?
Yeah, within a minute or two. So it may be a little delayed sometimes. It depends if there's a storm or not. You know, the cloud is positioned wrong.
Personal question. Your carrier, Verizon, T-Mobile?
Verizon.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but with other ones, even with T-Mobile, things of that nature, they don't really have a good, you know, good reception, because then you got Cricket and, you know, whatever ones you got. So they're trying to use their towers to get out. All they are is just giving you the phones and the service.
Right.
They get in a package, so it's totally different. So I'll go from there.
So in your experience, what you're describing there, when you say Cricket, T-Mobile, the other, in your experience over your time in service with using these cell phone app type devices, it's historically an issue with delays or problems, or what exactly have you experienced with that?
Same way, delays, not getting it. I'll get messages, you know, hours later, or I won't even get them.
Okay.
That's why I rely even on email, at least through email, it's direct. It is delayed because obviously, no, it's got to go to space and come back and then go to our email address. But
now that you're on Verizon, you don't have any of that problem?
I had problems with Verizon. I had problems with AT&T, but because I have that multi-select, that multi-sending now, I haven't had an issue since.
Okay.
So you can't always just provide on that one, you know, one cell phone thing. You have to go into your settings, and then you have to put it in there. You'll always get it. I've never had a problem since. So, and we have some bad areas in the town that I'm from. No. So,
thank you.
If I can have just a minute or two.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to bring up, as far as I am responding goes, with the ESO program that I was talking about last month and the month before, pushing the data and getting it to us, I am responding, if your volunteers click that they're going to a scene or anything like that, I am responding actually drops into ESO. So actually I've been talking one-on-one with ESO, working with them for the past month, trying to get it more clarified and get more information for you guys. And I have that. And because we just had a recent structure fire, being able to put our investigations into ESO so that we can keep track of everything. Say, for instance, we come back, they ask questions, what was lost, and nature. We have it in there. So that would really help. Right now, it's just kind of stagnant. We can't use it because we're not collecting data, because we haven't gotten the approval yet to use the ESO program. So I would like to see if we could push that even forward. Again, we'll get trends, our effectiveness, you know, what we need to bring in as far as personnel, things of that nature. I've told you guys all this before, and go from there. Right now, at this time, if you were to look at the ESO program, I have all the occupants, the building itself, and the property. You'll all have pictures of it. The building has there's a picture of how it's designed out from access or from the clerk's office or assessor's office, I'm sorry. And then you'll have the picture of the building, and then you'll have the size of the property, which also could be used when you go to calls. If you have a forest fire, whatever, you know how long the property is, and they'll help you out within those time frames. So I'm asking you, please look into these programs. We need to get these things forward. So not only will it help us, it'll help everybody else. So I'm going to go from there.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else? Anybody else? If none, we'll move on. Remarks from the mayor.
I want to report that on the 16th, we finalized the declaration ordinance. That's the firefighter declaration for a line of death duty when it's related to cardiac arrest, stroke, or pulmonary embolism. That is effective on the 16th. After the hearing, there was very few people that spoke on it, but the ones that did speak were in favor of it. The M12 lease contract has been signed and delivered. Many thanks to Commissioner Baker for helping getting that pushed through and kind of like picking up on the loose ends. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do agree with Firefighter Morin on the data question. It needs to be resolved. We are kicking it down the road. We have been kicking it down the road. I have been in discussions with the chair on how we're going to get that done, and I'm going to suggest here now that for next month's agenda that you put on the agenda to appoint a subcommittee, maybe three members, to start looking into the programs and come to a bring it back to the commission with a recommendation and which program we should go with.
Okay.
Congratulations and my appreciation to Sergeant Spring and Sergeant Galdenzi and Officer Mora on that 97 Forsyth Road call. Just goes to show you what shaking the bushes will produce, and it was only out of their effort that they were able to conclude it successfully. Also to Officer Todd, their performance is much appreciated, and obviously following in the footsteps of the ones who started the program, Officer Dave Rowley, Officer Dennis Monahan Jr., Officer Al Shires. They're the ones that set the things in motion, and I'm sure Todd is following those footsteps. We've restarted recently the DOC community safety meetings. They'll be done quarterly again. It was attended by Commissioner Gillette. We discussed the inmate workforce, which is kind of not as strong as it used to be. But we got their commitment in the current administration to continue it as much as they can. With the inmate counts down, the clientele are they have less people that qualify. Let's put it that way. So that's the problem of getting them out there. They do it as much as they can, even now. And as far as the dams go, I am in regular talks with the city of Norwich, the Mohegan Tribe, our state legislatures, and Norwich Golf Course on the elimination of that Trading Cove dam. Serves no purpose, and the benefit to the town, if it's removed, we won't get that flooding on Northern Turnpike any longer. So it would be a good thing, and they'll replace the fish ladder, and it will help with the fish population in the river, believe it or not. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council liaison.
I just want to echo what you guys brought up and what Lenny said. I think this has been on unfinished business since I've been with you guys, and I know it's not easy, but I think the importance of the data is, you know, you guys have told us, so I think we do need to get rolling with that as much as we can. I also wanted to thank, you know, Fire Marshal, Police Department, all you guys firefighters. I think you guys bring a lot to these meetings, and I appreciate you guys coming up, sharing your thoughts. So thank you.
Thank you. Marks from the Commissioner. Chris Callahan?
Nothing, thank you.
Commissioner Baker?
As always, thanks. Thank you, everyone, all you public safety officials. We appreciate the job you do, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Commissioner Perkins?
No.
Mr. Stewart?
Nothing this month. No.
Mr. Bauer?
Nothing, ma'am.
Mayor, the only thing I would ask is if you could send me that in writing, your request to form a committee for that.
No problem.
Okay. Appreciate that. I have nothing other than thank you all. I appreciate everything that everybody does every day, every moment. And thank you for coming to the meeting. It's important. Motion to adjourn.
Make a motion.
Second.
Motion made second to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye.